This is a reading of the collected works of Rudolf Steiner, entitled A Way of Self-Knowledge and the Threshold of the Spiritual World. Collected works titles 16 and 17 in one book. This is Meditation 2, The Elemental or Etheric Body. The idea of the soul that we are forced to create based upon the fact of death can drive us into complete uncertainty regarding our own nature. This happens when we believe that the soul cannot know any world other than the sensory world, and what reason can understand of it. Ordinarily, our soul life directs its attention toward the physical body. It sees this body pass over after death into the continuum of nature, which has nothing to do with how it experienced its own existence before death. True, if we have practiced and made the previous meditation our own, we know that the soul has the same relationship to the physical body during life as it does after death. But this insight takes us no further than the recognition of the inner independence of our own experience up to the moment of death. Observation of the outer world shows us what happens after death to the physical body, but we have no comparable observation of the inner experience of what happens after death. In its ordinary state, therefore, the soul cannot see beyond the boundary of death. When a soul cannot form concepts that go beyond the world that absorbs the body after death, then it will not be able to see anything of a soul nature after death, but only empty nothingness. For that to change, the soul must perceive the outer world with some other means than the senses and the mind that is connected to them. These belong to the physical body, and they perish with it. They can never lead further than the result of the first meditation, which consists only of the soul admitting to itself the following, quote, "You are bound to your physical body, and that body is subject to laws of nature, which stand in the same relationship to you as do all other laws of nature. Through them you are a part of the outer world, and the outer world is a part of you, as you see most clearly from what happens to your physical body after death. To live, the outer world gives you senses and reason, which makes it impossible for you to see what happens to your soul's life after death." Unquote. To admit this can lead to one of only two possible results. Either you suppress all further investigation of the riddle of the soul and give up hope of such understanding, or you make the effort to attain through inner experience that understanding which the outer world denies you. Such efforts can make your inner experience stronger and more powerful than what is given in ordinary existence. In ordinary life, our inner experience, our life of feeling and thought, has a certain intensity and strength. For example, usually you hold a thought only as long as there is an inner or an outer reason to do so. However, if you wish, you may pick one thought arbitrarily out of the great number available to you, and without any further incentive, choose to think through that thought repeatedly. Each time you do this, you will experience it more intensely. By repeating a thought, you can make that thought the single object of your inner experience, while at the same time holding at a distance all outer impressions and memories that might arise in your soul. In fact, you can make this complete and exclusive dedication to a thought or feeling a regular inner activity. By the activity of focusing on a thought in this way, we can strengthen the forces of inner experience, while inner experience, in turn, as it were, condenses or intensifies. One can recognize the effects of this from the kind of self-observation that sets in after inner activity has continued over a sufficiently long period of time. In most cases, however, considerable patience will be needed before convincing results occur. Indeed, without years of patient practice, nothing of particular significance will be achieved. The results that are possible are of many different kinds. Here I can give only one example. You can use this example to continue along the path of meditation that I have begun to describe here. As I have said, you may practice this inner strengthening of soul life for a long time without experiencing anything in yourself that helps you to think any differently about the world than you normally do. But then, one day, something like the following can happen. It is in the nature of such things that what I describe may well not happen to one person exactly as it does to another. Nevertheless, by gaining a picture of one such experience, we can reach a certain understanding of the whole domain that we are considering here. A moment may come, then in the course of practice, when the soul inwardly experiences itself quite differently than usual. The experience generally begins when the soul rouses itself from sleep, as if into a dream. Immediately, however, it becomes apparent that this experience cannot be compared to what one normally knows as dreams. The situation is like this. You are far removed from the world of sense and reason, yet you experience things just as you do in your normal waking existence in the physical world. You feel compelled to represent what you experience within yourself, and to do so, you imagine using the concepts you have in normal life. Yet you know quite well that what you are experiencing is different from what those concepts normally relate to. You think of those concepts as only a way to express an experience you have not had before, one you know to be impossible in ordinary existence. It seems as though you are surrounded on all sides by thunderstorms. You hear thunder and see lightning, yet you know that you are in the room of a house. You feel permeated by a strength of which you were previously unaware. Then you imagine that you see cracks in the walls around you. You are prompted to say to yourself, or to someone you believe to be standing near you, quote, "This is serious. Lightning is going through the house. It is seizing me. I can feel myself struck by lightning. It is destroying me." Unquote. After this series of images has passed, the soul's inner experience returns to its normal state. You find yourself remembering what you just experienced. If the memory is as alive and faithful as any other, you can make a judgment about what you experienced. Then you will know with certainty that you have been through an experience that neither your bodily senses nor your ordinary reason could give you. You will feel that your description of the experience, for yourself or for another, was only a way of expressing or communicating the experience, and that it had nothing in common with the actual experience. You will know that for such an experience your senses are unnecessary. Those who speak of hidden activity by the senses or the brain do not understand the true nature of such experiences as the above. They are simply attached to the description, to the talk of thunder, lightning, and cracks in the wall. Therefore, they do not believe that the soul experienced anything other than an echo of normal existence. They think that what was experienced was only a vision, in the pejorative sense of the word. Such people cannot think otherwise. They fail to take into account that the use of words such as thunder, lightning, and crack in the wall is only an attempt to portray the experience, and that it should not be confused with the experience itself. It is true, of course, that to the experiencer, these images appear as if they were actually perceived. Yet the person does not relate to the appearance of lightning as he or she normally would to lightning that is seen through the eyes. The vision of lightning, in a sense, is something that is spread out over the true experience. Through the lightning, The person actually sees something quite different, something that cannot be experienced in the outer world of the senses. To judge such experiences correctly, a soul that has had such an experience must be able to relate to the outer world in a completely healthy way after the experience is over. You must be able to compare the special experience with normal experiences in the outer world. Those who tend in ordinary life to be swept away by manifold enthusiasms are ill-suited to arrive at a correct understanding. The healthier, we might even say the more sober, our sense for reality, for what is real, the better prepared we shall be to assess the truth and value of such experiences. You can trust suprasensory experiences only when you know that you see things and processes of the world of everyday experience as they really are. When you have fulfilled all the necessary conditions for strengthening the soul, and have ascertained that you have not been deceived by a mere illusion, then you will know that you experienced something for which the body did not act as the medium of perception. You will know that your observation occurred directly through the strengthened soul, without intervention of the body. Thus you will have gained the idea of experience outside your body. Clearly in this area, one can define the differences between dream or illusion and true out-of-body observation only by reference to the realm of outer sensory perception. Take, for instance, a person who has a very lively imagination when it comes to taste and who, by merely thinking about lemonade, feels similar to how he or she feels when actually drinking it. The living context of the whole, however, reveals the difference between the two experiences. It is the same with out-of-the-body experiences. To reach complete conviction in this area, you must be able to live into experiences in a completely healthy way. You must acquire the capacity to observe the various parts and interconnections so that you can correct one through the other. By means of an experience such as I have described, you can gain the ability to observe what belongs to your own self without using senses and reason. You will then not only know something different about the world than your bodily instruments permit you to know, but you will also know differently. This is particularly important. A soul that passes through an inner transformation comes to recognize more and more that it cannot solve the suffocating questions of existence in the ordinary world of the senses, because the senses and reason cannot penetrate deeply enough into that world. By experiencing things outside the physical body, souls that undergo such a transformation can penetrate more deeply into the world. The solution to the riddles of the soul lies in what may be gathered from those experiences and reports of them. An experience that occurs outside the body occurs in a quite different way than one that occurs in the body. This becomes clear by how we can assess the out-of-the-body experience when we return to our normal, wakeful state of soul and our memory of the experience is sufficiently lively and clear. Usually the soul feels the physical body to be separate from the rest of the world and sees the body as belonging only to it. That is not the case with what you experience in yourself and in relation to yourself outside the body. In that case, you feel connected with everything you could call the outer world. You feel connected with everything in your surroundings in the same way that you normally feel connected to your hand. In the inner soul world, you no longer feel indifference toward the outer world. You feel yourself grown together, completely interwoven with what you might call, quote-unquote, the world. The effects of the world pass perceptibly through your being. There is no sharp boundary between the inner and outer worlds. The whole surrounding environment belongs to the observing soul, just as the physical head and hands both belong to the physical body. Nevertheless, just as you can speak of the head as being distinct from the hands and feet, you can still speak of a piece of that outer world as belonging more to you than the remainder of your surroundings. The soul calls a piece of the sensory outer world the physical body. A soul able to experience outside the physical body may further consider a part of the non-sensory outer world as also belonging to it. If you push forward and observe that area accessible beyond the sensory world, you will be able to speak of a body that belongs to you that is imperceptible to the senses, what we can call that body the elemental or etheric body. Just as simple reflection upon the relationship of the human being to the outer world of nature results in an idea of the physical body, so the soul's journey into areas that can be beheld outside the sensory body leads to a recognition of an elemental or etheric or formative force body. The end of Meditation 2.